John in the first chapter of his gospel, the 12th verse, tells us, but as many as received him, you see, as many as received him, how do we receive Jesus? First, hearing his commandments, and then keeping them. Then we begin to receive Jesus. And we prove the fact, if we prove the fact that we do keep his commandments, then Jesus begins to reveal himself to us. He has something more to tell us, what to do and how to do it, in order to receive something from the Father. In the 16th verse of the 14th chapter of John, we read, I will pray the Father, you see he's praying to the Father, and shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Mind you, forever. A Comforter God is going to give us to abide for us forever, not for a day or 2 days or a month or a year or 2 years or 5 years or 100 years. No, to abide with us forever. If we will abide in heaven his commandments and keep them. Brethren, don't we see God and Jesus being one? Don't we see that they cooperate? He manifests to us that God first will recognize us as his sons. Is it a small thing for us to be recognized as sons of God and daughters of God? The greatest thing in the universe. Jesus tells that as many as received him, he gave them the power to become sons of God, who were born, little later, says the 13th verse, not of men, not on any will of men, but of God. We become then the child of God, a son of God. What then remains? Well, the Comforter. The Comforter? Well, dear brethren, as soon as we received the commandments of Christ, and as soon as we began to keep it, God loved us. But he did something to show his love. How did he show his love to us? Oh, brethren, he withdrew us near him, and he shed in our hearts the spirit of sonship, which makes us call him Abba, Father. Isn't it so? Yes. And then Jesus begins to reveal to us the great mystery. They didn't know anything about sonship of God before Pentecost. Oh, no, no. They knew it in a way of dark sayings, in Jesus' sayings. But when they received the Holy Spirit in the day of Pentecost, they come out boldly declaring Christ, the truth. Then they have tasted what it means to receive the love of God. They have tasted the best thing in the universe. God loved them. What did they expect then from God? Shalom, God loved them directly and without shedding the spirit of sonship in their hearts. Oh, dear brethren, the promises that are given to us are great and precious. Do we weigh these words, brethren, great and precious promises that God has given us to become not only sons of God, but joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Right away, uniting ourselves with Jesus, and he is using all kinds of good pictures in the Bible to picture how united with Jesus we will be. In the 19th chapter of Revelation, we read, I believe it's the 10th verse, that the wife of the Lamb has made herself ready. Here is pictured the church as being a wife which was in preparation for the whole age of the gospel since Pentecost until now, and still we don't know how many more years or months, we don't know. And Paul says that this wife of Jesus will be presented to Jesus without spot or wrinkle or any such a thing. Holy, separate from all other creation of God, except the creation of Jesus, made her like him. And we will be one with Jesus, husband and wife, head and body. Then we will see the great love with which God hath loved us. Oh, dear brethren, then we will be, blessed are the years and the days that we suffered for Christ's sake. Yes. Why? Because if we suffer with him in the same course as he did suffer, dying for the word of God, for the truth, we shall reign with him. If we die with him, we shall live with him, be like him. Brethren, no wonder in one place Paul is speaking about the church, about being the full measure of fulfilling all in all. Fulfilling all in all in all. That is, doing God's will everywhere and to the full measure of it. Feeding both angels, principalities and powers, and every name that is named, and in the, even in the universe and the earth, mankind, with everything that they need. Rulers, kings, and priests for the world of mankind. Receiving therefore, dear brethren, such a favor from God, and it is sure as we live, No doubt. There is no room for doubt whatsoever that it is so. If we have the commandments of Jesus and keepeth them, God loves us. And if God loves us, Jesus is loving us. And Jesus will do something, will reveal himself or the whole mystery of God to us. How can we make our calling and our election sure? To be with him, to be like him, to reign with him, to serve God, to be one with God, the divine family. In another place in Colossians, Paul is speaking about Christ as being bodily, dwell in him. All things. In the English is stated as Godhead. But we don't get the real meaning of the word Godhead. In the Greek is Theotis. Theotis, it means, as we say, the humanity. We don't mean to say one man. No. We mean the whole human race. And the same here, brethren. In Christ, God has been pleased to put the whole dwelling, the whole divinity, so to speak. Divinity is the proper word to be used here. To dwell in Christ. Isn't it so? Yes. And if Christ is a type of Adam, when God took one born of Adam and created Eve, he calls them as one again, although he divided it into two. So here, dear brethren, God was making a picture there, a picture of the Christ, that he is going to make one Christ, head Jesus and the members of the body, the rest of it. And so, Paul says, the whole divinity lives in Christ. That's the determination of God. And if Christ has been exalted far above angels, principalities and powers and every name that is named, what can you expect, my dear brethren, when you going to be like him and see him as he is? Yes, exactly what we're going to be like him and have the same authority under him. He is the head. We'll be the members of his body. Rule over the whole universe of God and feeding, taking care of them, doing God's will. Oh, we'll be greatly happy at that time, my brethren. Now who is willing to draw back of such a hope, of such a glorious hope, most glorious hope? I hope nobody. We keep the commandments and keep them as close to our hearts as possible, and keep them to the best of our ability, that we may become partakers of the divine nature. And so, we are not responsible. We are not claim too much when we say and quote Paul's sayings, the second chapter at Colossians, the sixth verse and the seventh verse. We read, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. What are these instructions, brethren? And the writings of the apostles are by God. Yes. Whatsoever they wrote, it is God saying, without a mistake. And it is God's instruction then. Therefore, brethren, as we have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so to walk in him. How we received him? Just the way he was. While he was going around doing good to all. Can we do that? Yes, we can, to our ability. That's all. And then what? He was preaching the truth continuously to small and great, to the meetings in the church and to the crowds and the fields. Yes. Some believe, some didn't believe. Didn't change his mind. No, no. And he continued so until he was crucified. Are we willing to do the same thing? Why not, my dear brethren? It is not that you can do it. You can do it. Because God is just. And he doesn't require 1% more than your ability. No, no, no. Just your ability. As much as you can. That's all. Here we see, brethren, God's justice, God's wisdom, and God's power, and especially God's love. And not only that, but we have another instruction, which is instruction, yes, but it is effect. In the 15th verse of Colossians, the second chapter, we read there, and have it, but I'll read a few more scriptures before that. I read from the third verse down to the 15th verse. In whom, in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Look how strongly he makes it, my dear brethren. After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Godhead will make it divinity, and it's better. Divinity, the whole divinity, lives in Christ. And ye are complete in him, in Christ, which is the head of all principality and powers. In whom also ye are circumcised, with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins and flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him, buried, being dead, with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the apparition of God. You are risen with him. How did you rise, brethren? Are you resurrected of the dead? Yes. Yes, you are. We are. We are not men and women. We are only used in this body since we have consecrated ourselves. This body is no more our body. We have the Spirit of God, which is shed richly in our hearts, by which we cry, Abba, Father. We are new creatures. And then Paul says, ye are dead. Dead? Yes. But your life is hid in God with Christ. See how God has begotten us, children of God. His eyes is centered in this new creation. How can he develop it? And he causes all things to work for good. For this, the new creature to grow in us. And therefore we have this plainly spoken to us by Paul. God is working in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What is his good pleasure? Well, it is not a good translation. But anyhow, it is a good word. The real Greek is here this way. God is working in you both to will and to do in behalf of the new mind, the new creature, the good will. Brethren, the good will that is among men today, yes, the new creation. God is working. Can you feel it? No. Well, he is using the greatest power in the whole universe to raise this new creature in you. Yes. And he is keeping his eyes there, careful not to suffer anything that will squeeze it. But he is feeding it more and more to a perfect divine being without body. And will make it triumph where? On the cross. Just like Jesus triumph on the cross, you and I have to triumph on our death beds. Yes, when we die. Whether we die on the cross or whether we die on our bed makes no difference to God. The main thing is the building up of this new creature in us to be ready for the body when we will be raised to have a body just the same like Jesus' body. It pays, my dear brethren, to have the commandments of Jesus and to keep them. Yes. Now, buried with him in baptism, with him also we are risen with him through the faith of the apparition of God who hath raised him from the dead. The faith principle, my dear brethren, worketh just the same all the time. Abraham received Isaac back. How? Faith. He had faith. He said, I will give my son in a sacrifice to you, Lord. And he took him, took the wood, took the fire, everything ready. And he took the knife to slay Isaac. Then the angel from the Lord stopped him. Why Abraham was doing that? Really? He was slaying his son? Because he believed that God, once he gives this son by promise, not by the power of men and women, but by promise, so is he strong enough to raise him from the dead, though I slay him. And he received him back alive. Yes. And so is here, by the faith. Have you faith, my dear brethren, that God is going to make you like Jesus, to have a body like Jesus' body, and live in heaven with Jesus, and live in the house of God as a member of the family of God, of divine God, divine family, as a member? You have this in your heart, faithfully, strongly, working daily, enabling you to fulfill your obligations toward God? Yes, you'll have. That's the way faith works, my dear brother. A question of God who has raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, he speaks about the Jewish law here, which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them, openly triumphing them on it. Oh, you say, Brother Stamos, you omitted one word. Brethren, I omit the word over. The word over is written with small letters, meaning that it was added there by people that translated the Bible and put over. Nothing of the kind. The principalities and the princes here, I believe it is the church, because the whole chapter, the second chapter, Paul is using a language showing how God is creating this great mystery, the church, the divine family. Nothing else. It has nothing to do with speaking of principalities of the world. Is he the head of the principalities of the world? If Jesus is the head of the principalities of the world, then he will be responsible for their sins. No, 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 beloved. He is head of the principalities and powers in heaven place. Oh, yes. And with the principalities and powers of the divine family, which will be over all principalities and over all powers, whose head it is, Jesus. Then he triumphed them on the cross. Yes, he triumphed them on the cross. But I took the word over. The word over doesn't belong here. Is a strange word, should be taken out. And to take it out makes the thought plainly. He says, and having spoiled principalities, spoiled. The word spoil is not right. Having made it naked, took off the body, so to speak, and show only the new creation. In the day of Pentecost, the apostles were not speaking as the shepherds of the field, or the as a man that is a fisherman, or as any plain man. No, no, no. They were speaking as Jehovah's Witnesses. The witnesses of God, witnesses of the truth, and was speaking the Holy Spirit that was given to them. That's the reason the whole audience, they were surprised of the courage and the way of language used there, it was a surprising. Why? Because it was the Holy Spirit of God speaking. Yes. And therefore, brethren, He, Christ, will triumph these persons, the bodies of the members of His body, will triumph them all, every one of them, all in the cross, in death. Triumph them to do what? Oh, going to bring them to the heavenly condition of the children of God, even the body, divine body, like Jesus. Be with Jesus. And when they will finish the course on this side, the veil, all then Jesus will take them and present it to the Father. His bride, as Isaac presented his wife to Abraham. We have other scriptures, brethren, to prove the fact that God also has given us something else which binds us with Christ, so bounded that cannot be separated. Now, He gave us the Spirit of the promise. What promise? Well, in the first chapter of Ephesians, the second Corinthians 5:5. Better to start from there. Now He that hath wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. He gave us the Spirit, yes, and He calls it the earnest of the Spirit. What does this earnest mean, brethren? Doesn't it have a connection with some great promise? Yes, that Jesus will be our husband and we will be His wife. The Spirit of Africa. Ephesians 1:13-14. We have the same thing here too, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. What is this Spirit, the earnest of the Spirit, brethren? The earnest of the Spirit is this. The Father has a Son, and He wants to marry His Son. He wants to give Him a wife. So He goes to His neighbor, or to another man whose daughter he has seen it and he likes it, to take it as a wife of his son. He says, John, will you give me your daughter as a wife of my son? Oh, certainly, I'll give you my daughter as a wife to your son. Sure, better to you than to others. All right, I'll give you my promise. The earnest, that's binding the common wife with her husband. And when the time comes, the united becomes one and the marriage takes place. That's the thing God gave unto us. He shed in our hearts the Spirit by which we call Him Abba, Father. Not only that. Oh, no, no. As an earnest that we will marry Jesus. Jesus will be our husband. Oh, what a wonderful. And it is a fact. It is bound by oath. Can be changed. No matter how many other girls come to marry this young fella, rich and strong and wise and loving. No, no. Change. The wife that, the girl that he is espoused with, that's it, espoused is the word that I want to use. The spirit of espoused to marry. And therefore, when our formal election sure is made, when all of us will become one with Jesus, then Jesus is going to present his wife to the Father in order the Father to bless them. What a wonderful thought is pictured here. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, oh, St. Paul was a fine saint, a fine child of God, presents all his powers to the brethren, his love and his interest for them. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of the calling, of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance into the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward, the power of God that is working in our hearts, we can't feel it. It is so great. We can't feel it, we can't see it, we can't touch it. So great. And blessed are those that do exercise faith in God. Your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his saints, and what the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. His mighty power. And never mighty is used except in connection with the resurrection of Jesus. God used the greatest power there to resurrect a human being to divine nature, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world or age as it's in Greek, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all the church. To the church. All the things to the church. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all things. The fullness of him that filleth all things, brethren. Let me tell it as a last word. It is the body speaking here for the fullness. And being the whole thing, the fullness of him that filleth all things, both in heaven and on the earth. That's our hope, my dear brethren, and I hope the Lord will give you the power to have the commandments of Jesus and keep them down to the last breath. Then you are worthy of the divine nature and you receive it.
Thankful to our Heavenly Father that we've had Brother Stamless with us this afternoon to serve us with that message. There may be some of the friends who are here at present time who are do not have accommodations as yet, and if such is the case, they should contact Brother Kajak, who is in the rear of the hall near the book table. And if any Detroit friends have additional space in which they could entertain visiting brethren, they should also contact Brother Kajak. We usually announce at the Fourth July Convention that it's a good idea not to leave any valuables in your car, and this year is no different than any other year, so if you have anything in your cars which is open and visible, it's a good idea to either put in the trunk and out of sight or bring it into the hall. There are, there's a word of warning, there are four grates in this hall, and some of the sisters have inadvertently stepped on them with thin heels and can very well injure themselves. You have to be careful whenever you're walking near any of these four corners of the hall, because there are quite large openings in those grates. There will be Sunday school for the two groups once.
Before thee reverently and humbly to give thee thanks for thy word of truth. Thy word which Jesus was speaking, we have accepted, and thou hast loved us And Jesus loved us, and he is revealing himself to us now, that we may be made partakers of the divine nature. We thank thee, dear Father. We are not worthy of any of your favors, but we thank thee that thou hast pleased to call us out of darkness into thy marvelous light, and to give us this greatest of opportunities to run the race set before us in the footsteps of Jesus, faithfully even unto death, and then to receive the new body, the body like Jesus' body, divine nature, and be presented before thee without spot or wrinkle or any such a thing. We thank thee, dear Father, because thou art working in us both to will and to do of thy good pleasure, for thy good pleasure, for the benefit of the new creature which thou hast born in us. And now, dear Father, we pray thee to bless the other meetings following this meeting. Bless the brethren who will speak, and bless the leaders who will lead. May all be done to the glory of thy name. We ask it all in the forgiveness of our sins, in the name of Jesus, our great Redeemer. Amen.